My name is Taylor McClure, and I am your host for CIDI's Daily News Show, and you are tuning in to Township's Daily News Bits. On this episode, I chat with Robin Marie Coleman, Présidente Directrice Générale Adjointe, President and Chief Executive Officer at the Sus de l'Estrie CHU, the Regional Health Authority here in the Eastern Townships, about the Health Authority's recent announcement of closing 175 beds and a number of operating rooms across the Eastern Townships as a result of staff shortages going into the summer season. Various other services will be affected depending on which hospital. As Quebec's healthcare system continues to face pressure and is presented with staffing shortages, Robin provides some information as to how the Sus de l'Estrie CHU will go about addressing the staffing shortages while also trying to meet the needs of the population to the best of its ability and ensuring that it provides a quality of life for its employees. Robin, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with CIDI today. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to do so.
It is my pleasure.
So, Robin, we're here today to discuss announcement that was made by the Sus de l'Estrie CHU, which is, of course, the regional health authority here in the Eastern Townships. And from my understanding, this announcement is the closure of 175 beds this summer. And I just wanted to start off by asking why this is the case and why the Sus de l'Estrie CHU thought it was necessary to take this step and to close this number of beds going into the summer season.
Perfect. Well, thank you for the question. Like our organization, like many others in Quebec, always are confronted with difficulties with staff shortages in the summer period. And this year, it's even a little bit more important than previous years. And that's explained by numerous things. First of all, our population coming out of the pandemic has much greater needs than we've had in the past. And also, just pure demographics, there's less workers available that are working in order to be able to offer care and services. So it was necessary to take certain steps, and it's something that's been being planned by our teams for several months now, in order to try to find, I would say, the fragile balance between offering care and services to the population and offering, you know, necessary vacation to our employees.
Now, I'm interested in and in learning a little bit more about these closures. I didn't know if it only affected the hospital in Sherbrooke or if there were going to be beds closed at some of the local service networks that fall under the Sus as well, like including La Pommeraye. I didn't know if you had the details as to where these beds are being closed or if it really was just concentrated in Sherbrooke.
No, the closure of different beds is in every one of our hospitals. So the numbers that we had shared with the population is a global number representing the number of beds that are closed in all of our hospitals in our territory. More particularly, I would say, for example, the hospital in Cowansville, there are a certain number of beds as well that are going to be closed. For example, in intensive care, there'll be three beds instead of five that will be open for a certain period of time from the end of June to the beginning of September. So the details are different depending on the reality of each one of our local hospitals as well as the CHU. In order to make sure that we put in place different actions in order to compensate for the fact that some of the beds will be closed.
Okay. And from my understanding, on top of the beds, the Sus also had to take the step in closing some of the operating rooms this summer as well in the hospitals across the region here, despite having people on the wait list. So I didn't know if you wanted to comment on that as well.
Sure. For every sector, we've talked about the hospital beds, the operating room, it's the same thing. For our home care, it's the same thing. There was really a detailed analysis done on, with the resources that we will have for the summer period, what is the best way to go about planning care and services in order to allow our employees to have vacations. So for certain sectors like the operating room, there's a really interesting strategy that's been applied where for certain places, we try to make sure that everyone that's working in the operating room takes their vacation at the same period, which is not something that always happened in the past. The interesting thing is, even though there will be some operating rooms closed in every one of our short-term care facilities, We expect that they'll be closed for a shorter period of time because in past years we've closed rooms, but not all the vacations of everybody working that was needed in order to reopen them properly in September were coordinated, and we often ended up, in September, end of September, October, and sometimes even later than that before we were able to reopen full capacity. So we've tried to adopt a new strategy that will allow our employees to take vacation, make sure that we still have sufficient access for all of emergency surgeries, and also that we will be able to, even though there's a short period in the summer where activities will be reduced, we'll be able to start up our activities at full capacity much quicker afterwards.
That was a great leeway into my next question. You're mentioning how some services might be reduced, and I was going to ask you, what types of services will these bed closures or closures and staffing shortages this summer affect? I was wondering if you could provide some examples there for our community, just so that they're aware.
For sure. Obviously, but maybe for the listeners, there is a section on our website if they're more interested in knowing for each one of our local territories, well, how does this apply, for example, in the MRC of Bromissisquoi or in Granby? So, I mean, if there are certain details that I give and they want to look and see, does it apply, and how does it apply in my MRC, they can go and look on our site of Saint-Esprit. We have a section in the news section that is summer adjustments of services, and there's a one-pager for each MRC. So it will allow people to go and look specifically. But there are certain activities, for example, in Cowansville, if I give you a specific example there, the clinic that is available for women who are ambivalent about continuing their pregnancy. We only have 2 points of service for that in our territory, in Cowansville and in Sherbrooke. For a certain period in the summer, the service will only be offered in Sherbrooke. However, we worked locally with people in order to make sure that that didn't have an impact for the population. So any future woman who's ambivalent about continuing her pregnancy, it's clear that they can contact the planning clinic in Sherbrooke, and our organization will be accompanied by professionals, and if they need transportation, it will be covered by our team as well, so there will be no cost to people. The same thing for certain of our day activity centers for clients with intellectual disability or autism spectrum disorder. We need the resources from those day activity centers for our 24/7 services, and so all relatives or patients have been notified, and we started really early this year and worked with each family in order to find alternative services to respond to their needs. Sometimes it's through community organizations or partners, sometimes it's through our home care teams, but each family was contacted individually so that we could try to find a solution with them. I just profit for thanking everyone for their contribution in trying to find services, as well as, I would say, our home care services as well. Well, every summer there's generally a decrease in home care services, which follows a little bit naturally, as strange as it might seem, the habits of the population. A lot of people that profit from our home care services choose to have a slight reduction in the summer period because they're away on vacation, they're not as home as much. And so, once again, I work closely with with the case manager and the users that receive our services to anticipate if a reduction in certain services might have an impact, and if so, how can we compensate for that with the collaboration with either family or partners. Those are some examples.
Great, thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. I really just wanted the community to be aware as to how this could affect them, and thank you so much for referring them to the website. That's great. I just wanted to steer the conversation a little bit more. Like you mentioned, it's common knowledge that the Quebec healthcare system is facing a lot of pressure as a result of staffing shortages. And I just wanted to know if you knew what the shortage is, I guess, for the les fichus, like how many people you are going to be missing or are missing for this summer. And if you could please highlight some of the reasons behind these shortages besides the fact that they're going on vacation.
Yeah, for sure. Well, for this summer, we anticipate it's obviously numbers change daily, so it's not an exact science, but that we will be missing about between 1,300 and 1,500 people this summer. It's not obviously very clearly related to just summer vacation. There is kind of, I would say, a mix of different causes, the first being the increase in needs of the population. I mean, I know every year, you know, we're stating that it's a challenge in the healthcare field, but there's really, in all walks of life, you know, we want to go get a coffee at Tim Hortons or something. You know, there's lacking people everywhere. We're not any different in that sense as other industries. So there's the increase in needs, there's the pure demographics, I would say, the fact that the needs are much greater than the population that is available to work. There's also, I would say, the relationship with work, and this is something that we really want to work hard on over the next couple of years as one of the largest employers in the region. The relationship with work is different for our younger population. They maybe understood certain things that some of the older generation didn't understand right away. But it's important to, you know, be in a job that allows you to adjust your work with your, you know, personal, professional life. There's a lot of the population, too, that is confronted with taking care of an older generation and a younger generation at the same time. And not everybody wants to work full time. And so all of these are challenges. And we really want to work really hard over the next couple of years. And it's part of our strategic plan that we're about to communicate to the population. How can we become an employer of choice and make sure that our employees are able to have, I would say, a quality of life, a good quality of life, and that balance that's so important for people between professional and personal. So it's an accumulation of several factors. You know, we can't get discouraged because we have amazing plans in order to transform, I would say, the way that we offer care and services, which might bring certain changes for the population in the way that they consume services. However, the status quo is not possible. So there's certain things that maybe were always done that are not demonstrated scientifically to give results, and that we might have to question about not doing in order to do things differently. We have a few examples of really interesting projects where we're trying to change a little bit the status quo and do things differently.
Okay. Well, that's really great to hear because, you know, people leaving for summer holidays combined with the staffing shortage that the CIUS has already faced, as all health authorities are facing across Quebec, like you said, it creates kind of a difficult situation. And also, from my understanding, there's been various resignations at the hospital recently as well, at the CIUS de l'Estrie, I should say, and that the CIUS de l'Estrie is also going through a mediation process with some of the unions across the region that represent nurses, doctors, etc., to provide quality healthcare services to the population, especially with the difficult summer period coming around the corner. So basically, my question was, what is the steps that the CIUS is taking? So I wasn't sure if you wanted to perhaps highlight some of those examples of the projects that you're doing, to address that.
Definitely. Well, the first thing that I would like to just reassure the population is that it might sound a little scary, everything that we're sharing right now, but I would like the population to know that if they have an emergent healthcare need, do not hesitate to consult. The services are there. There are not delays for emergent services. And maybe the contribution from the population that would be required is when it's not an emergency. We have, like I stated, little one-pagers, go and take a look and see what is the best way to access services to make sure that as a member of the population, we're using the most efficient way possible the resources, the precious resources that we have, in order to make sure that those that are really in need have access to services in a timely manner. That's something that we all have to work on as a member of the population, because it still happens today that people go to the emergency room for non-emergent situations and refuse appointments that we give them in 24 hours. They want to stay in the emergency room and have it treated immediately, but So those are different situations that we would ask the collaboration of the population. But as far as the interesting projects, there's lots of different things that we have underway right now. For example, an interesting project that aims to increase the intensity of home care in order to allow elderly patients to leave the hospital much quicker after a hospital stay. Even if we know that ultimately that person will need to be placed in a long-term care facility because of their needs, the best choice for the person is not to leave them in a short-term acute care hospital waiting for that place to come available. So we have an interesting team that's Intensive Home Care, which offers a group of professionals that can help maintain the person in their home while waiting for a place that would come available in a long-term care facility. And it's been proven that this type of strategy, even though it requires an investment of human resources in home care, is very, very good for preventing decline in functional capacities of an elderly person who may not ever be able to regain those capacities. So it's not only, you know, keeping an elderly person in a short-term care facility, for example, in a hospital waiting 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 6 weeks for a place in a long-term care facility is clearly not good. So, I mean, it's different things like that change, for example, a lot the way that things have functioned in the past, but reinvesting more of the resources in first line and home care rather than in the hospitals in order to make sure that people stay at home as long as possible with help. There's places that hospitalization at home, going from a surgery straight to home, or rehabilitation programs at home rather than in a rehabilitation center or in the hospitals. Those are all the types of things that we're going to have to put forth in the next years in order to make sure that we do not contribute towards, by the way we offer the services, to the decline in functional capacities of our population.
Yeah, so it just kind of alleviates that pressure off of the hospitals. That person can stay in their home rather than staying at the hospital, which opens up beds for other individuals.
Exactly. So on top of such initiative, allowing more patients to be operated on, for example, because the beds are available in the hospital, mm-hmm. we are preventing in many ways the fact that our elderly population that was needing those types of services have declined in functional capacities that ultimately sometimes end up in them having to be placed in a home rather than staying at home. So there's a lot of things that we need to transform as far as our activities are concerned that can make us intervene at the right time and the right place and prevent a lot of issues afterwards that add a pressure to the system. So we have to start to, I would say, major transformations in order to invest in the right places at the right time for the health of our population.
And I also wanted to perhaps maybe highlight some measures. You were mentioning how the demand from the population and whatnot is putting a lot of stress on those that are providing the healthcare services to the population. So I was just wondering, you know, this is obviously, these types of projects are a part of this, but what measures are being taken to try to help improve these working conditions and help alleviate the stress on the workers?
Well, there's different things, different initiatives. The first is, there's some that are more, I would say, short term that we've been working on, is re-giving control to our employees in our different sectors to do the scheduling. And it might sound like it's not a huge initiative, but it's a great initiative because it re-gives them the power to decide on a certain department, for example. The teams get together now and determine the schedules together in relation to what, for example, my personal obligations are in the next month, and my colleagues, and there's like a collegiality, I would say, in determining the needs, which takes off a lot of the pressure, because a lot of our employees state, well, forced overtime, what is obviously we would like to completely eliminate overtime, but forced overtime when you haven't had time to plan in advance your personal activities, taking care of the kids, etc., that is what's really hurtful as far as, I would say, the pressure that we can add on employees for external factors. So that's something that we've really advanced on over the past year. We have several more teams that are supposed to be deploying the what we call auto administration of the scheduling. So that's one element. Another is really to implicate the teams. We've started in several of our Réseau Locaux de Service, our MRCs, to work with naming local coordinators, medical and clinical coordinators that will work with the teams and the admin locally in order to find solutions locally to the problems that they have in their hospital, in their different sectors of activity. So that is something that has given a little bit of more power back to our local teams. It seems to be very, very appreciated by our teams locally. So I think we've, you know, after the big transformation in 2015 to now the COVID, the pandemic, where everything was kind of, you know, a little bit top down, one of our big initiatives is to start from the bottom up, meaning how can we get the teams on the floor to influence the transformations we need to do and really listen to their voice. And I believe ultimately from what we get from information directly from our employees, they want to be involved and they want to help be part of the solution.
And you were mentioning before how you're asking for the population's patience and collaboration during this time and to not go to the emergency room for non-emergencies. But I was wondering if maybe you could just pinpoint if they do need help, but let's just say a lot of people don't have a family doctor right now. Exactly. Is there other places that they can turn to avoid going to the emergency room?
For sure. And I mean, that's something that I'm extremely sensitive to, and my colleagues as well, is that it's not always easy. It might seem easy for us, but it's not always easy for, you know, the members of the population to say, okay, you know, where do I turn for what? The little one-pagers that I had explained to you that are available on our site, Santé Esprit, in the section News, will really help a lot through that. So there are sections, obviously, it will be stated that our emergency rooms remain open, but then it will kind of guide the population through. For example, if you have a minor healthcare issue, you can choose option one, Info Santé, or, you know, you do the 811 number. Option one is Info Santé. Option two is if you have, you know, a psychological need or different things socially. And if you don't have a family doctor, option three will get you to the guichet d'accès première ligne, what we call GAP, and someone will find you if it's an emergency situation or a semi-emergency, will help the population, guide them through getting an appointment in a clinic that's closest to them, according to the degree of emergency that it is. So I know it's not easy. That's another one of our big elements that we would like to work on over the next year, is how can we make things easy for the population to find services. But I believe with this little one-pager, if it's not an emergency situation, a lot of the answers will find themselves there to help navigate themselves through, depending on what the need is. If it's for a vaccination or a testing center, there's the link directly to click Santé to take an appointment. Different things like that.
Great. Thank you so much, Robin, for providing that information. I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention to the community here that you think would be important for them to be aware of going into this summer.
I would just like profit from this Tribune to say thank you. I know that we have a great population. I know that people are going to collaborate to the best of their ability, but if, you know, I just reiterate, if there are emergent situations, don't hesitate, don't wait, consult, and you will be treated. Patients also, a lot of patients that have regular services have case managers. They'll still be available. They can help navigate through the system as well. Maybe a message to, you know, our employees, doctors, volunteers, thanking them for all their hard work. I mean, we're really lucky to have such great people that work for us and work for our population. I hope that everyone will be able to find the balance that we're searching for between offering care for the population and taking care of them. I always say we have to take care of those that take care of others. So that's a little bit, I would say, what we're trying to do over the next couple months.
Great. Thank you so much again, Robin, for taking the time out of your day to chat and to provide all that information. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
CIDI reached out to the FEQ, Syndicat des professionnels en soins des cantons l'Est, a union that represents health professionals across the eastern townships, for comment, but they did not get back to us before press time. However, In an open letter sent to media outlets, a member of the union, Nadia Stephanie Ouellet, who has been a nurse for 20 years at the Fleurimont Hospital in Sherbrooke, denounced the shortage of care professionals, especially as we're heading into the summer period. She writes that the Fleurimont operating room is entering one of the worst crises that has experienced in the past 15 years. Over the past six months, 100 shifts have been worked overtime. 20 shifts were imposed as mandatory overtime on day staff. 32 shifts were imposed in the form of on-call duty on all staff. On 90 occasions, the day staff had to work evenings or night shifts for an entire week to make up for holidays, long-term illness, maternity leave, or simply vacant evening and night shifts. She writes that we currently have 24 nurses to do the work of 75. This is unacceptable. She continues to write that as Quebec's national holiday makes its way around the corner, Saint Jean-Baptiste, 8 people will be leaving. There will then be a shortfall of 5 nurses out of 12 to do on-call duty over the long weekend. The same goes for Canada Day. She said, we warned our managers as soon as the summer holiday schedule was presented to employees last March that there wouldn't be enough of us to get through the summer. No one would listen. She said that every week, someone leaves due to illness and or exhaustion, and that the hospital's retention rate for new staff is 50%. She writes, we have to think of ourselves, but above all, we have to think of our patients. Every hour of overtime imposed on us affects our physical and psychological capacities, our clinical judgment, and the quality of the care we provide to the public. Our expectations are simple. We want the public to be aware of our situation, working conditions, and to stop asking more from an already overworked team. She writes, this media release is a cry for help from our professionals, the nurses, nursing assistants, and respiratory therapists in the Fleurimont operating room are understaffed and exhausted from coping with all the pressure. Give us the means to provide adequate and safe care to the public. We hope that management will find solutions quickly. CIDI will continue to follow up with the FEQ SCR.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.